Well, good morning. Let's just pray and ask God to speak to us this morning. Father God, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the way that you teach us, that you lead us, you guide us through your Holy Spirit, helping us to understand your word. And this morning we pray that as we look at this subject of getting involved, that you will guide our hearts and our minds, guide our thinking, and help us to hear from you, Lord. We ask it in your name. Amen. Amen. Now, some of you will know that I quite like my sport, and this is a picture of watching a football match. I went to a football match on Friday evening, and it was at Portman Road, so I wonder, there's a 50% chance you will get this question right. How did Ipswich get on? Anyone know? They lost. The 50% was it was draw or lose, wasn't it? Because we don't do wins. So I went and watched the football on Friday night. I quite often go. I don't know why anymore, but I keep struggling along. Something else I do in my life is this. This is me at the Olympics. No, it's not me at the Olympics. But I play table tennis, so I get fully involved in table tennis. I play in the local league, and I'm not quite as good as these blokes. But it's difficult to find table tennis on the TV. Dawn will tell you it's quite difficult to find football, isn't it? But it is difficult to find table tennis on the TV. But I participate in table tennis, whereas I'm banned from the church five-a-side team now after breaking both my wrists. Not at the same time, I hasten to add, just accidents. I'm still working on a way back, but at the moment I'm banned. So I watch football. I watch football and I participate in table tennis. Now, we've been having a series of looking at membership of MIE. And being a Christian isn't a spectator sport. Being a Christian isn't a spectator sport. And we've looked at loads of things over the last few weeks about, you know, being part of MIE and what it means to be part of this church community. We covered baptism. So it's important, isn't it, that we identify with Christ through baptism. We thought about Bible teaching and how important God's word is to us. Prayer and evangelism. They're stable things that we should do as a church. Church planting, and we thank God, don't we, for Bixley Farm and the way that God has blessed that church plant. We often think about the global church here at MIE. And I noticed before the service the slides which remind us of the mission partners that we have here within our congregations. And we thought about money. You know, this place, St Andrew's, Bixley Farm, all the things that we do take money. So that's an important part of our membership of MIE. We thought about Holy Communion and how precious that is to us as fellowships to come together to have Holy Communion to remember the death of Christ for us. And last week we thought about fellowship and walking together with one another. At St Andrew's, Mark was talking about fellowship, and he talked about the idea of a sort of accountability, of having somebody that we're able to share our struggles with as well as our joys in being a Christian and trying to follow God. And now we've come to get involved. Get involved. So I think the fact that you're here this morning means that in some way you are involved in the life of MIE. You're involved in some measure. It might be your first time here. I don't know everybody here. It might be your first time, or it might be your thousandth time, or even more than that. However many times, it's an involvement at some level. But perhaps you might wonder at times if there's something more if there's something deeper, if there's some sort of different involvement that you're being called to. Now, I know, because I'm often sitting in the congregation, I know how easy it is to switch off at this point, because maybe, you know, you don't want to hear the challenge, and I'm talking to myself as well now. Sometimes we don't want to hear the challenge. But to help us with that, I want to first look at the why. Why be involved? Or rather, what I think is perhaps a more important question in a way. Why be involved in the Christian life at all? Why be involved in the Christian life? Now, I talked about baptism as identity with Christ, and it might seem obvious, but to be involved as a Christian, as a follower of Christ, you need to have taken a step. You need to have taken a step of acknowledging Jesus Christ as Lord. This morning we confessed our sin, didn't we? We confessed the fact that we do things which are not pleasing to God, which don't meet His standards. And we've behaved in ways that are contrary to God's way and what He wants for our lives. The only way we can be in right relationship with God is through Jesus and through His sacrificial death for us on the cross. Now, we may not understand all the language. We might not, you know, have it all worked out in our theology. But it's about a relationship. It's about a relationship with God through Christ. We might just be taking the first steps of that, or we might feel we've been on that sort of journey for many years. But the important thing is that we have a desire and a wish to follow Jesus. I said earlier, it's not a spectator sport. And this is often brought home to me, especially in my role as an Open Doors speaker. Some of you will know that I speak on behalf of Open Doors. If you don't know, they're a charity that supports persecuted Christians in many countries of the world. Apologies that when I do speak now, I do tend to bring Open Doors in anyway, even if I'm not meant to, so forgive me for that. Last week, Dawn and I and Linda Fisk and went to a conference run by Open Doors in Birmingham. And there we heard some stories, some examples of our persecuted brothers and sisters. This is a picture of a man from North Korea. North Korea is the most difficult place in the world to be a Christian. We heard a story from a lady from North Korea. She told her story of how she had been in a labor camp after having escaped once from North Korea to China because of a famine. And she got captured there and taken back to North Korea and put in a labor camp. While she had been in China, she had become a Christian. So the fact that she'd both left North Korea and become a Christian was a sort of a double whammy, really. And in the labor camp, she was interrogated and questioned and tortured. Conditions are awful there. Her husband and children were there also. By some miracle, they were released. But they decided that they couldn't stay in the country, so it was agreed that she should leave and go ahead to North Korea, to China rather, again, to escape to China. She went with her daughters, and her husband said that he would follow on with their son. So they went to China, they got back in touch with the church where she had become a Christian, and they waited. They waited for a year, they waited for 2 years. Her husband didn't come, they heard nothing. And a few years later, they heard by some way that, in fact, her husband had died shortly after her and her daughters had left for China. She hasn't seen her son since he was 12. That's about 20 years ago. Great suffering. We heard as well a story of many people from a Muslim background. That's the next slide, the picture of the lady. People who become Christians from a Muslim background, and in many countries in the world where that happens, that's a really dangerous thing to do. It's total commitment to Christ. We heard as well accounts of life in India, and there's a picture of a pastor here from India, runs a church in India. India at the moment is becoming more and more difficult and dangerous to be a Christian. This week I read there's an Open Doors email which told us about two Iranian Christians who have been arrested. They were arrested because they had contact on their mobile phones with other Christians, and that had been traced. They've been taken somewhere in Iran, no one knows where, but somewhere where they're probably being interrogated, tortured, and maybe their lives are at risk as well. Many examples. Following Jesus for people in these situations is not a hobby, and it can literally be a matter of life or death. And you know, Jesus also said some tough things about following him. He said some difficult things about being a follower of Jesus. In Mark's gospel, he said this: "If anyone would come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for me and for the gospel will save it. What good is it for a man to gain the whole world yet forfeit his soul?" Hard sayings. In Matthew we read some of the most perhaps difficult words that Jesus said. He talks about our families. He says, "Anyone who loves his father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. Anyone who loves his son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And anyone who does not take his cross and follow me is not worthy of me. Whoever finds his life will lose it, and whoever loses his life for my sake will find it." I find those really difficult words to hear. We have to be careful. Jesus isn't saying that we shouldn't love our families, that we shouldn't love our parents or our children or those, you know, close to us. What he's saying is that Jesus must be number one in our lives. He must be the most important person in our lives. Luke as well records some words that Jesus said about following him. And he said this, he said, "Suppose one of you wants to build a tower. Won't he first sit down and estimate the cost to see if he has enough money to complete it? For if he lays the foundation and is not able to finish it, everyone who sees it will ridicule him, saying, 'This fellow began to build and was not able to finish. Counting the cost. There is a cost to following Jesus. There's a cost to being involved as a Christian. There's a cost to being involved in MIE. We need to be aware of that. And we need to count the cost. So having said that, having heard those words from Jesus, why on earth would we want to get involved in following him? Why would we want to follow Jesus if it involves such dedication, such sacrifice, such giving up of things, it seems, taking up our cross? We need a bit more motivation, perhaps, than just thinking that it's going to somehow enhance our lifestyle. Or, you know, it'd be good to have a social life, so let's just go along to church and find a social life. Let's get some more friends. Those things are good and they're important. And often, you know, we come to church not knowing Jesus. We get to know people who love him. And that's the way that God uses to bring us to know him. So I'm not denigrating that at all. It's important to be involved in those things, in friendship and social action and social life of the church. But to take up our cross and follow him, to deny ourselves, we surely do need more motivation than that. It needs to be more than just giving us something to do. The only way we can truly be motivated to be involved is by God's Spirit, by the Holy Spirit pouring God's love into our lives, by realizing what Christ has done for us. So the underlying motivation for getting involved in the life of MIE must be the desire to be a follower of Christ, to be involved in his body, in the church universally, to take up our cross and to follow him. Now we live in a different culture, a different situation to those people that I mentioned. And, you know, sometimes I find that it's important that we don't almost feel guilty for living here. Because this is where God has put us. This is where God has placed us. This is our place of mission. We might live in a different culture, in a different situation, but the call on our lives is the same. It's the same call for somebody in India, for somebody in North Korea, for somebody in Iran, as it is for somebody here this morning, sitting in St. John's. It's a call to give everything to Christ, to give our whole selves to Christ, to follow him with our whole beings, to take up our cross. In the verses that David read to us from 1 Peter, we read that Peter, in the few verses just before that, talks about having the same attitude as Christ in his suffering on the cross. The same attitude as Christ in his suffering on the cross. Peter talks about not living our lives for evil human desires, but for the will of God. He talks about dispensing with what we have done in the past. And then at the beginning of that passage it says, the end of all things is near. The end of all things is near. Now, there's importance to get a balance in this. Like me, you will have heard of people who have predicted the end of the world. They've predicted with dates and times when Jesus is returning. Like me, you will have woken up the next morning and thought, oh, I'm still here. Either the rapture happened and I wasn't part of it, or, you know, the dates were wrong somehow. So we have to be careful. When we say the end is near, I believe, you know, that means the end is a certainty. So we have to have a balance. We mustn't become obsessed with trying to work out when and where and how necessarily. The Bible says, in fact, Jesus says that we don't know. We're not going to know. So we shouldn't become obsessed by trying to work it out. But also, the other side of that is we shouldn't ignore it. We shouldn't ignore the fact that Jesus will return, that Jesus is coming again. And Peter says, well, we need to think clearly, to be clear-minded and self-controlled, so that we can pray. That's one of the aspects of our life at MIE, which we covered earlier in the series. And there are loads of opportunities for us to pray together and individually for the life of MIE and for our life as Christians and for the global church. Although we can't predict the date and the time, we can't also afford to let the time just drift away from us. Warren Rearsby, who's a commentator that I like, and I quite often read his commentaries. He has a series called The Bee Series. And this morning at 8 o'clock, I couldn't remember the title of the Bee book for 1 Peter. But it's actually Be Hopeful. I went home and I looked at it. It's Be Hopeful. It's a great title, isn't it? Be Hopeful. He says in that, he says, if a person really believes in eternity, then he will make the best use of time. If we are convinced that Jesus is coming, then we will want to live prepared lives. Making the best use of time. Living prepared lives. Not just letting it drift away past us. So how are we to be involved in MIE? And I don't mean at this stage what are we to be involved in, but how are we to be involved? How should we carry out our involvement? In verse 8 of the passage that was read, Peter says this, above all, love each other deeply, because love covers over a multitude of sins. Love each other deeply. I read another version which used the phrase fervent love. Fervent love. God's love for us through Christ's death on the cross has covered over the multitude of our sins, hasn't it? His blood shed for us has paid the price for our sins. And when we relate to one another, this should lead us to be generous with one another, to be forgiving towards one another as Christ has forgiven us. It should lead us to love one another, to accept one another, to keep on loving one another in spite perhaps of our differences and sometimes our disagreements about things. To keep loving despite what people might do to us. Above all, with love. And Peter tells us in verse 9 to do things as well without grumbling. Now he talks about hospitality, which can be food. It certainly often is food, but it also can be sort of giving of ourselves and our time, being hospitable to people, welcoming people into our lives. But to do that without grumbling and to do the other things that God calls us to do without grumbling. In verse 10, he talks about us having a servant spirit, that whatever gift we have, we should serve others with it. Having a servant spirit, not thinking, you know, well, if I do this, then I'll get this out of that situation. I'll be repaid in this way. But thinking about how we can serve others. And to do it faithfully, he says. To do it faithfully. And I think that means things like being reliable, being dependable, having perseverance when things don't go as we want them to. You know, we're people, aren't we? And so at times we make mistakes, we forget things. We don't necessarily do what we said we did would do. We perhaps promise things that we can't fulfill. But we need to be faithful towards one another, to keep going and to persevere with one another. And in verse 11 he mentions that when we speak, we should speak the words of God. Now that's quite a scary verse standing up here. But it applies to us all, I think. That when we speak, we should watch what we say. We should build one another up. We should encourage one another rather than complain and moan at one another. Back to verse 10, he says, whatever gift we have, whatever gift we have, we should serve others faithfully. And many of you, many of us do so many things in living out our membership of MIE, in living out our Christian life, our Christian faith. There's so many things that go on and so many people involved in them. No one thing is more important than another. You might think, well, you know, I don't do much. But what you do is just as important as whatever it is you're thinking is more important. There isn't a more important. They're all important. And Paul, in his letter to the Corinthians, talks about the body. He uses the illustration of the body to show this. He talks about us all being part of one body, the body of Christ. And he says, you know, the eye can't say to the hand that I don't need you, and the head can't say to the feet, I don't need you. We're all part of one body. And as he goes through that chapter, Paul goes through the chapter about the body, he comes to the end, he talks about various different gifts of apostles, of speaking in tongues, of prophets, of teachers, people who do miracles. And he says at the end, eagerly desire the greater gifts. And now I will show you the more excellent way. And the following chapter, chapter 13 of 1 Corinthians, talks about love. Talks about how whatever you do, if you do it without love, it's like a clanging cymbal. It's like a resounding gong. It doesn't have worth if you do it without love. So that's how, in a way, we should behave and act as members of MIE, how we should be involved in a sense. But sometimes it's good to review where we are, both in our Christian walk and in our membership of MIE. So perhaps this week, perhaps we should take a few moments just to pray and to ask God about our involvement. Whether what we're involved in at the moment is what God wants us to keep doing. Whether there's something different that he wants us to be involved in. Whether there's a different angle that he wants us to come from in our involvement. The church is often God's agent, his vehicle for reaching the local community with the good news of Jesus. And you know, there's lots that go on among our three churches here at MIE. And it's geared to helping people to grow in their knowledge and love of Christ. For those who already know Jesus, to grow and develop in their walk with him. And for those who don't yet know Jesus, to come to know him and love him. I picked up a What's On leaflet, as I'm sure you've all read this from cover to cover, haven't you? So you will know exactly what is in it. There's an awful lot of things that go on in our churches. There might be something in here that you haven't really thought about, but maybe God will prompt you to think about it. There might be something that you have been thinking about, but have sort of put off, but perhaps God is just nudging you to pray a bit more about that. So many different things. And you know, you do so many different things. And it may be that as you pray, God will say to you, you know, it's great. Carry on with what you're doing. Keep doing it. God is smiling at you as you serve him. It may be that perhaps he wants you to investigate another area of involvement, as I've said. It might be, and this is risky, that God is saying that you need to step back from something you're already doing. Sometimes he says that. I don't think he'd say that so that you could then just watch daytime TV all the time or whatever. He'd say that because he's probably got something else that he wants you to get involved in. But sometimes we just need to take a bit of time to just think about it, to allow God, to allow some space, so that in all our busyness, God has the opportunity just to speak to us about what it is we are doing. But however God speaks to us, whatever he says to us, we need to keep at the forefront of our hearts and minds the verse in 1 Peter at the end of that passage we had read. Verse 11 says, if anyone speaks, he should do it as one speaking the very words of God. If anyone serves, he should do it with the strength God provides, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. To him be the glory and the power, for ever and ever. Amen. It won't be in our own strength that we do things. In fact, if we try to do things in our own strength, that's often a recipe for disaster. There must be in God's strength, with the power of his Spirit within us. And it mustn't be for our own glory, or even the glory of MIE, but for the glory of God and for his kingdom.